Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, and my mother-in-law here in Dallas, Texas, Mom Mildred Burrow. You know, we're supposed to be having a table talk today, but we have kind of like postponed it to tomorrow, but I'm going to teach. Is that okay? I'm going to teach. But tomorrow we're going to have a table talk, which we're supposed to have today. And the subject matter we're going to be looking at is prayer. But in the meantime, I'm going to share on prayer myself today. And then tomorrow we'll continue with the study as we look into this very important subject. Well, this is the 2nd of January, 2016. Can you imagine we are already in 2016? I was talking about yesterday how the time flies. Man, we were talking about 1964. I remember when Zambia got independent in Africa from Great Britain. And I was a young boy by then, and then growing up and finishing my high school, then going to college, and then, I started working for a power company and trained within the power company, rose to a very high-ranking position as a manager, in a sense, but foreman in charge of maintenance and then construction maintenance of high-voltage equipment that supplies the mines in Zambia. I did that for almost 10 years. Then because of the strong call on my life to serve him, I left for Nigeria, where I went to train under the Archbishop Peter Hosa for 2 years. Came back to Zambia, started a ministry. I named it the Pentecostal Believer Church of God. Then I started a Bible college there, the Word of Life Bible College, where I trained 100 pastors who are all over the world right now ministering the Word of God with signs and wonders following. Well, in the due course, God used me to bring a lot of different kinds of preachers from around the world, especially here in the United States. I brought people like Richard Roberts, evangelist Richard Roberts, the son of Oral Roberts, to Zambia. I brought people like LaDonna Osborne, the daughter of Dr. T.L. Osborne, a well-known evangelist and missionary to the ends of the earth. And then I brought dear friends of mine, Dr. Christine Edwards, and many others who came from the United States to join me in Zambia for ministry. People like Ines Glave from the United Kingdom, who helped me teach in the Bible school. I ended up visiting Ines Glave in South Wales, in England. I also had people like Lascana Sandberg, a dear friend of mine from Sweden. We interacted in ministry for a long time. I traveled extensively preaching in Sweden, moving all over those towns, in Henne, in Kumla, in Alingsås. And then I preached in South Wales. I was in Cardiff, in Port Talbot, and in London itself. I traveled and traversed extensively in the Netherlands, preaching the Word of God in Amsterdam and in Utrecht and Emmelo in the Netherlands. I also ended up meeting Brother Andrew's wife, the man who smuggled Bibles to, I think, Russia. It has been a tremendous trip for me spiritually, having traversed here in the United States and been associated with very powerful ministries. I had an office in Dalton, Texas for missions work with WIGO, World Encounter Gospel Organization, who kept my finances and accounts in Stockbridge, Georgia, with a dear friend of mine, Tarrant Nelson, who helped handle my accounts there in Stockbridge, Georgia. I was engaged with the old Park Ministries as an evangelist and pastor and bishop with the Charismatic Bible Church the ministry of churches there. And then I traversed friends of mine like Wayne Clark preached in his church in North Carolina, in Greensboro, North Carolina. I traversed and traveled extensively, you know, here in Texas, preaching in Linden, Texas, in Mount Vernon, ministering the word of God powerfully all over this great nation of the United States of America. I've traversed and traveled, been to Atlanta, Georgia, lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then God called me and I went and I did studies in my Master of Divinity degree with the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Massachusetts, South Hamilton. Then I had to do a three-year correspondence school with Rhema, Tulsa, with Dr. Kenneth Huggins, who after 3 years I received a diploma in Biblical Studies and Charismatic Ministries. I was ordained by the Archbishop in Nigeria. After a rest and moved by the power of the Holy Ghost to do great and mighty works in this, the United States of America. Then God settled me here after I built a big work in Africa, a church sitting 300 members and growing, and having trained over 100 pastors with Bible school and the land of 5 acres. God brought me to Dallas to start a brand new work and move on with the vision. And so we established and registered the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International with a branch of the Bible College, known as the Word of Life Bible College, at which this year we're beginning the correspondence Bible school that is going to be spread across and around the whole world. It is a magnificent encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost to see how God can work when we are faithful unto His name. I've enjoyed teaching the Word of God. I've taught the Word of God throughout my adult life. God called me at the age of 30 years, and I'm now 60 years old. For the last 30 years, I've been doing nothing but ministering the Word of God around the world. And you know, my dear friends, wherever you are, I challenge you in the name of the Lord to be part and parcel of this ministry. You say, Bishop Mwamba, what can I do? I challenge you. In Africa, we need sponsorship in our Bible school. You see, our Bible school, we are only charging like $600. But mind you, to me, when I went to seminary, just the cost of study there was over $60,000 per year. You understand? And now, you know, we are just asking for $600 just to help us get the tuition, the materials we need to get things to the student. And so if you say, well, Bishop Mwamba, I would like to help a student, you're very welcome to send your donations to Word of Life Bible College, the number 7@outlook.com. Give us a message and we'll instruct you of how you can channel your gift, which will go into training men and women for the ministry. Or you can send me an email to bishopmwamba@outlook.com. I'll receive it, and then I'll get in touch with you, show you how you can send that gift to us. You know, there are many people with millions and millions of dollars. I've just been reading on Facebook how this woman, I think it's one of the towns either in New York or somewhere, she won $188 million of lottery, big jackpot. But then she had a boyfriend who was at loggerheads with the law. This guy was put on bond. Bond was placed by this woman for this guy for $3 million. Then the guy goes, does some crazy stuff, and the bond was raised to $6 million, and this woman paid the money, put up the money for him. And then I just read, they said he did some violations, and his bond was raised again, I think, to $12 million, and this woman is ready to put up that money. I was saying, oh, God, all we need is just $1 million to do your work. $1 million would be enough for us to do the work that God called us to do for the meantime. as we look forward for other millions to come in, to buy the airwaves, to buy the equipment we need for broadcasting and all other stuff. But anyway, suffice to say, dear friends, that this is a brand new year in which we are focusing mainly to start strong. We got the Word of Life Bible College and International Correspondence School running. I'm the president, founder and president of the Word of Life Bible College, Dallas, Texas campus. But then we're also doing the Correspondence School, reaching into Africa and many other nations of the world to as many as people will respond. So most of our students we have now are from Africa and from Zambia, and we're expecting some here in the United States. We have a Zambian who is originally from Zambia, but is living in New York, and she has registered to study at the Word of Life Bible College International Correspondence School. But dear beloved ones, today I would like us to look into the Word of God. I want us to examine the subject we're supposed to have talked about with my mother-in-law and my wife about prayer. How does prayer work? What makes prayer work? Now, I'd like us to look into the scriptures in the book of Mark and chapter number 11. I want you to look with me in verse number 20. Now, here I'm reading in the King James Version of the Bible. Listen to the scriptures. The Bible reads, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, and answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, verse number 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven, or your Father which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, you are saying, "What, Bishop Mwamba, what is this account you're talking about?" Now, here, look. Here, Jesus was having a little trip in his ministry, going to Bethany. And God had assigned him to go to Bethany, because that's what the Bible says. When you look early in the chapter of 11, they said, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, and to Bethage, and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and says unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you enter into it, you shall find the cot tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him, and if any man say unto you, Why do you do this? You say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway you send him thither." But you know, we see here as Jesus is preparing to enter into Jerusalem in a mighty triumphal entry.
we see that he comes as he's walking. You can see there in verse number 7. And they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strolled them on the way, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and said unto them, and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, now the ventible was of ventitude. And now the ventitude was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, this is the time, as he was going to Bethany with the 12, that this big statement that Jesus gave happened. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, you see what I'm saying? And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to eat, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the feast was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of the hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, he's going, coming into Bethany, and Jesus is angry. He was human. He was God, but he was human. And he's angry, and he wants to eat, and sees this fig tree, and he says, oh, let me go get some figs so I can eat. It looked like it had figs, but when he got close, he found that there were no figs. And when he found there were no figs, Jesus was so disappointed, he cursed the tree. He said, let no man eat hereafter from thee forever. I see, many times our lives will try to reflect the life of God, which maybe we don't have. We give, we give an appearance to people that we are a religious people. We are an anointed team. We are people who are bringing signs and wonders coming down from heaven. But when people get close to us, they find all these loopholes in our lives and deception. We just put on a facade of being holy and being right. But when they live with us even just for a week, then they find all these holes in our lives whereby we are liars. We lie. We scheme. We trick people. We play the game. And then we cause people to be frustrated in life. Living a deceptive life does not benefit and will never benefit you in the kingdom of God. This is what happened when Jesus looked at the fig tree. It was a deceptive tree. It had the leaves like it had the fruit. But the Bible said for the time of the season of the fruit was not yet. For the time that the tree can give the fruit was not yet. See, there is time that God gives us to be a fruitful people. You cannot always just go to church day in and day out, January to December, and still be the same, sitting in the pew, warming the pew, and you cannot even share Jesus to nobody. My friend, you're just being pumped up, being made fat with the word of God, but you're not doing anything to expand that word and share it to the dying world. As you go to church and you're ministered to, as your life begins to change, you must in turn send a message or talk to your neighbor. Let them know about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God.
If you're not doing that, then you are selfish to the. You see, Jesus was very much interested to spread the word. That's why he was in the way to Bethany. But he was hungry, like I said. This tree was deceptive to him, the fig tree. There are many people who are very deceptive. They will tell you, Pastor, I'll work with you. Oh, we shall be together in ministry. We shall run this battle together. But when the going gets tough, they give up, they quit, and they disappear and leave the pastor alone in the ring to fight the devils alone. Many people, they want to join a ministry whereby everything is already done. Church seats are already in the church. All the organ is playing. Oh man, they got nice sanctuary with carpeting through and through. They don't want to start on the hard knocks whereby they can sit on a hard bench where on the floor there is not even a single carpet. When the man of God has not even got a microphone to speak through, they don't want to spend time with such a man of God and build the ministry. They want where the glory has already been reflected by the Lord and the blessings have already come down. I read a story of Ricky Rash, who started a church in a funeral home, in a sense. He says he will go in this funeral home, they will move coffins around, and then he will preach to the people. Today, this man, I went to his church, he has thousands of members and he has got a gigantic sanctuary. Beautiful. He did not start like that. He started somewhere where people even had written him off. It doesn't matter if people write you off. God is the one you must be concerned with. If God writes you off, then you are really written off. But until God writes you off, nobody can write you off and say you are useless for the ministry. But anyway, Jesus, when he found that there were no figs on his tree, he cursed it. This is what we need to do to things that displease us, things that try to block our progress in life. When the devil throws deception in your way, when the devil throws things that are not being fruitful to your ministry, curse them and command them to get out of the way. And you know, after they had been into Bethany, as they came out, the disciples passed by, but Peter looked at that tree which Jesus had spoken to. You see, circumstances can be spoken to. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and said, let no man eat of the hereafter forever. He answered it. The Bible said, and he answered the tree when he didn't find any figs on the tree. You see, situations in life speak to us. You look in your account, there is no money. That account is speaking to you. Answer it like Jesus did. Command and say, you bank account, you must have millions of dollars for me to use for the ministry. You'll be filled up to capacity in Jesus' name. Answer situations when the devil brings sickness into your bosom, when the devil brings poverty and wants to pull you down. Answer it like Jesus answered the fig tree. He said, let no man eat of you hereafter forever. Answer poverty and rebuke and said, I'm blessed in the Lord, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed. Whatsoever I put my hands to do is blessed. And so Peter recognized and told the Lord, they said, look at the tree, Lord. It has dried up from the roots. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. For I tell you, he said, whatsoever things you believe when you pray, and he said, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. So here Jesus then said, whosoever among you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see that? It's a twisting in the tongues and the words that we speak. Jesus said, whosoever shall ask in prayer, believing, whosoever shall speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see, you gotta believe in the things that you say that they'll come to pass. And let me tell you what, they shall come to pass, because that's what Jesus said. He said, have faith in God. In a sense, he's saying, have the God kind of faith. What's the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is when we believe using the word of God. So, beloved one, no matter what you're facing at this hour, we have such power in us to speak forth the word of God and command situations to be straightened up. Are you having trouble with your health? Are you having trouble financially? Address these issues straight in the face and speak forth the word of God in faith. And that word you speak will change your circumstances. Because Jesus says, when you speak, doubt not in your heart. So doubt might linger and stay in your heart, to the extent that even when you have already spoken, the devil can put doubt in your head and say, it's not coming to pass. Right now I can see prosperity all over me. I can see we are moving in a bigger house. I can see we're having a ministry base. I can see offices. I can see the office for the academic team, for the student team, for the registrar. I can see the common room, break room for the lecturers. I can see myself having my own office as founder and president of this ministry and Bible college. You see, these things, you gotta see them. When you see them, guess what? That's when miracles will begin to happen. And so we see here, Jesus gave a very powerful instruction. He said, whosoever shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He says, and that shall not doubt in his heart, that those things which he believes shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The key in whatsoever he saith. What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to your circumstances? You know, many times our language and tongue has been trained to say the negative. Oh, I'm broke. Oh, nothing works for me. Oh, my house is going to be repossessed. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, there's nothing working for me. Those words come out easy. It's the tendency of our natural man to speak negative, even to ourselves. That's how we are wired. God brought a change by baptizing us with the Holy Ghost. He takes our time so we can speak differently. You gotta talk differently. You gotta talk like Caleb when he came out of Canaan land, spying Canaan with Joshua, the word of God. In these last days, we need to have a spirit. You need to speak words that are positive, words that are creative, words that are without any blemish. When I say blemish, I mean which are tinted with doubt. Whenever you doubt the things that you want to do, they will never come to pass. You got to get rid of doubt. And when you do that, guess what? Miracles will be your daily bread. This is Bishop Wamba challenging you here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, that you can build a successful life. You can have finances coming in. You can have prosperity. You can be established in a home. You can live in a nice neighborhood. But it will take to change things you say from your tongue, because your tongue is creating. also learn to build your surroundings and your life with positive words. And guess what? You will be blessed. Well, beloved one, let's build 2016 with good things. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my dear brother, wherever they are, that they're going to speak for positive things. They'll build their life by speaking the word of God and arranging and tuning to the Spirit and causing their mouth to say the right thing. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off from Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, telling you we love you all, and I'll see you again tomorrow when we have a table talk. God bless you, and bye-bye.